Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews the CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Brian Moran, a lead instructor at the USDA's Graduate School. This is a special edition of Ask the CIO. Brian, thank you for taking the time to join us.
Thank you, Jason. I appreciate the opportunity.
What we like to do on our show is sometimes talk to people who instruct CIOs or people who want to be CIOs eventually. And I think, you know, I don't think I've caught up with the people at the USDA Graduate School. And so let's start with some basics. What is the USDA Graduate School and how does it work?
So actually, the school used to be a part of the Department of Agriculture. It was roughly for about 90 years, but recently it split off and it's now a nonprofit educational institution. It offers degree programs as well as continuing education programs, professional development programs, and our certificate programs. And the name is now Graduate School USA rather than USDA Graduate School.
All right. So that's things change, and 90 years is a long time to be part of an organization. So how does it work? Is it just for federal employees, or is it for anybody? And give me a sense of some of the courses they teach specifically around technology.
You know, the majority of the students are federal employees, and that includes the broad spectrum, those who are starting their careers, ranging all the way up to the top rank SESers. It's a broad range, and they come to the school to either advance their careers, or if they're in a leadership position, what they're trying to do is to utilize the graduate school's training to refine their management skills and to try to enhance the effectiveness that they have over departments. Another portion of the student population are adults who are interested in professional development courses. Those are the fun ed type. They're the ones that are looking for enrichment courses like foreign languages, horticulture, creative writing, and other certificate / degree programs. And they come on evenings and weekends. The prices for the programs begin at a few hundred dollars and increase depending upon the duration and hours involved. And, you know, the really neat thing is that the research shows that the students and federal training officers consistently feel the schools a significant value. There's over 100 courses around IT and management courses, and they range from introductory courses, things like using Microsoft Office Suite, Adobe, GIS systems, and project management. And then it gets into things like cloud computing, security, enterprise architecture. The graduate school also offers a host of certificate programs, A-plus certification, enterprise architecture, information security, Microsoft certified desktop support technician, Network Plus certification. And beyond that, there's an array of management and leadership programs, and those include transition courses to help new leaders develop their skills, to improve program effectiveness, and to allow for existing leaders to continue to hone their skills. The graduate school has a Center for Leadership and Management as well, and this runs long-term leadership development programs that are designed for senior/SES executives who are in the need for enriching their leadership skills. Of the courses that are delivered in a variety of ways, they can either be face-to-face, they can either be online, or they can be on-site at federal agencies. Most of the courses are live, instructor, real-time courses delivered to students interacting either in person or through a web-based platform.
You hear things like A-plus certification or Microsoft certification, and those probably are very typical as the courses you find in other places in the private sector because the certification is a certification. But do you find that some courses are really geared toward federal employees in terms of the skills they need in the federal government to manage other federal employees?
Absolutely. A large number of the instructors at the graduate school are either current federal employees or past federal employees. So they can not only take certification courses and contextualize them, they can take some of the higher level thought leading courses like cloud computing, enterprise architecture, and wrap them up in a way that would allow the students to be able to be higher functioning students within a federal environment.
Typically, courses you said cost anywhere from a few hundred dollars to much more. Who pays for them? Is it usually paid out of pocket, or do agencies have a tuition reimbursement, or maybe it depends on the agency?
Some of the individuals pay for themselves, obviously, because they see it as a way to further their career. And then quite often, it's actually paid directly by the agencies through purchase orders.
So is that something, if I'm a federal employee, it's something that I'd obviously work out with my manager, and if there's money in the budget, maybe that's how it gets used?
Yeah, through a training request. Okay. Is a typical process.
Okay, that's good to know. Now, let's talk about your background a little bit. Now, you are a lecturer at the Graduate School USA, but you also have some other things in your background that makes you more qualified around the CIOs. Give me a sense about your background.
I'm actually the CEO of Government CIO, and I'm also a former federal employee myself. So I was the Director of IT Services for the International Trade Commission, and prior to that, I worked at the Department of Commerce at the Bureau of Economic Analysis. I've ranged from being a software engineer to a program manager to an IT executive in the federal government. So I'm able to provide a pretty good understanding of the marketplace. I can contextualize the learning so that it can be utilized within a federal environment. And then I also, having a company that owns a consulting practice, we can also talk about some of the problems that our clients see and bring them back into the training program.
And what do you teach specifically? Do you teach all the courses or a big majority of courses? Or do you focus in one or two specific areas?
Courses I primarily end up teaching in are project management, program management, enterprise architecture, and cloud computing. In fact, Government CIO developed the graduate school's cloud computing program, and we're working together to reestablish the enterprise architecture program.
You know, the EA program, that's very exciting. People's eyes glaze over, but people don't realize the importance of enterprise architecture. It was very big in the early 2000s. Did it kind of drop off, and now are you starting to see it coming back?
Enterprise architecture is an extremely important program, and it's seen sort of a new breath of life. Scott Bernard, the U.S. federal architect, has recently released the new models for FEA2, and we've also seen the release of the Common Approach. So OMB is now placing a lot of emphasis on enterprise architecture where they hadn't most recently in the past couple of years. And I think with the release of the Common Approach, with the release of the new FEA models, you're going to see more integration into portfolio stat and some of the other activities that OMB is engaged in.
All right, well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into some of those courses that not only you teach, but that's offered at the Graduate School USA. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Brian Moran, a lead instructor at the Graduate School USA.
Hey, it's Mike Jakaitis at the editor's desk, and I'm proud to say, stage one colon cancer survivor. Did you know DC ranks number one to lives lost to colon cancer? So I want you to join me and the Chris for Life Colon Cancer Foundation on March 24th for the 8th annual Scope It Out 5K Run Walk. March is National Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month, so come on out and help us raise funds and awareness to Scope It Out. Register now at scopeitout5k.com. That's scopeitout5k.com. Come on out.
Have you ever wanted to help make a child's wish come true? Grab your sneakers and join Make-A-Wish Mid-Atlantic on the National Mall March 16th for the second annual Walk for Wishes. Start a team today to help raise funds to grant the wishes of local kids battling life-threatening illness. Registration is free. To sign up or learn more, contact Make-A-Wish at 301-962-WISH or visit MidAtlanticWalkForWishes.org. That's MidAtlanticWalkForWishes.org.
Join Fisher House Foundation's team of champions at the Marine Corps Historic Half on May 19th in Fredericksburg, Virginia, to make a true difference in the lives of military service members, veterans, and their families when they need it most, during hospitalization for an unexpected injury, illness, or disease. Team Fisher House makes raising funds and awareness for the foundation easy and fun. Race slots are available until April 8th. Find out more at teamfisherhouse.org/MCHH.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Brian Moran, a lead instructor at the Graduate School USA. Now, Brian, before break, we were talking a little bit about how the school works, the typical students, some of the courses you teach in your background. Let's talk more broadly about the course offerings that CIOs and other federal IT professionals are typically interested in. Give me a sense of what they take.
The CIO level, folks, probably one of the hot topics is cloud computing. Cloud computing, we know, has been a big push by OMB and is also a reality of the cost pressures that the government agencies are starting to realize today. So they know they need to go to a cheaper alternative, and cloud computing proves to be one of the cheaper alternatives that a lot of agencies are either exploring or already actively engaged. So in order to stay ahead of the curve, CIOs are out there getting training, and they're making sure that their staff are trained in important areas like cloud computing.
Can you give me a sense of what that includes when you talk about training in cloud? Is it Is it the decision to go to cloud, or is it more about this is what the cloud is, this is how it works, and here are things you need to understand about how it works?
Excellent question, because it includes the assessment and evaluation portion, trying to look at the financials associated with a cloud computing decision. And then it also includes which technologies are out there, what are available, and how to architect and design systems in the cloud and how to secure systems in the cloud.
Is the security your most popular course? Because whenever I talk to CIOs about cloud computing, their biggest concern is, well, we're not quite sure how to secure our systems in the cloud or how security will work.
I think first, the most popular out of the cloud computing course is just the introduction and getting a handle on what cloud computing is. And then I think security would probably be the second most popular course in the cloud computing curriculum.
So the cloud's a big thing. What about some other courses that are popular? Maybe security, I imagine, is a big one. Project management, maybe?
Absolutely. Security is extremely important. And the graduate school offers an entire security curriculum. One of the things that graduate school saw was there was an increasingly important need for federal agencies and contractors who deal with the government to be able to deal with the significant security concerns. So graduate school did a lot of research, acquired assets at two different companies. One of them is Kenneth Sudol and Associates, and the other one was JPW Security Solutions, which concentrated on physical security. And they coupled these together along with counterintelligence and industrial security to provide a comprehensive program. So the courses and the instructors from the graduate school provide industry-leading cybersecurity expertise. These include, you know, dealing with some of the major threats that our country faces.
You talk about security, you talk about cloud. Project management is another big one. Program management is another big one. What are some other courses that people are usually interested in?
For the more junior folks, they want things like learning how to manipulate an Access database, how to work within Excel, how to manipulate the Adobe Suite products. So some of the more basic technologies. From the more senior folks, they, of course, want to continue to sharpen their skills. You know, they go into the enterprise architecture programs, the project management, they go into the general management courses, they go into the business analysis courses, the GIS programs. These are programs designed for higher level individuals seeking out a more sophisticated level of knowledge.
Can you talk a little bit about the management courses? Because that's the other piece of this. You know, being a CIO is as much about technology as it's about management and understanding what good management is. What are some of the courses that address management issues?
So the management leadership programs offered range from things like aspiring leaders to executive leadership and executive potential programs, HR professional development programs, to business analysis courses. In the management program, there are things like mentoring skills, leadership essentials, introduction to management, the power of influence over authority. So there's a whole host of programs designed for leaders and managers that CIOs and non-CIOs alike need to be able to be effective leaders in the federal government.
Do you find that people take more management courses or more technology courses, or do you find that it's split, people take a little bit of both?
I think it's actually split. They take a little bit of both because CIOs, they know they need to continue to maintain the currency of their technical skills. But of course, you know, primacy over technical skills for a CIO is leadership and management. So it ends up being a split between the two.
Do you see CIOs kind of lean in one direction or another one? I mean, are there certain courses, SES leadership program, for instance, or maybe something that's more on the business side? Do you see them going to that more often?
I think on the leadership side, you see many of the CIOs gravitating towards, but they still, you know, seek out things like cloud computing courses when they know that they're about to enter into a new realm of technology that they're not familiar with.
I think that must be the hardest thing for you guys, too, is to keep up with the technology. I mean, all these courses, cloud changes, security changes. Talk a little bit about how you keep those courses up to date as technology and management do change over time.
The graduate school has been in existence for over 90 years, so courses have to be changed substantially, and courses, you know, may have started off at a very low level of federal clerical workers and filing and typing at the very beginning to the IT strategy courses that they have today. And they have ironed out these processes for maintaining the curriculum and to maintain the currency of the curriculum. So what happens, the graduate school will reassess their curriculum on a periodic basis. They'll go back and revamp their entire curriculum. For example, Government CIO is actually partnered with the graduate school in revamping its enterprise architecture program to help support the graduate school take it to the next level with the new release of the models and the common approach.
So when you go through something like the EA program, and since you're doing that now, give me a sense of how that works. Is it a board of directors? Is it a group of really smart people that get together and say, here's the 10 courses we need?
First thing is it's a group of really smart people that get together and put together the content. Then the content has to be reviewed to make sure that it's academically sound. After the content is reviewed and approved, then it goes through the process like any other normal content would for editorial to make sure that the editorial process is satisfied so that the content's clean, without issues, it's pretty, it's pleasing, and it's delivered in a sound manner to the students.
What's the timing around this EA course? Do you expect it to be ready for the fall? Is it already going to be ready for the spring?
I expect it to be ready in the next couple of months.
All right, so people can start looking for courses to take fairly soon then. All right, very good. Well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Graduate School USA. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. This is a special edition of Ask the CIO. My guest today is Brian Moran, a lead instructor at the Graduate School USA.
Soon this little baby I'm singing to sleep will start to walk. First, she'll crawl. Then take her first baby steps. Before I know it, I'll be dropping her off at school. I'll be watching her run down a soccer field, staying up all night waiting for her to get home from her first date, wincing when she steps on the gas pedal and then the brakes, beaming when she walks up to accept her diploma, or holding back tears as she takes those big steps down the aisle. But before she takes all those steps, she and thousands like her will need you to take yours. Gather your family, friends, and co-workers and join March for Babies to help make her steps possible.
March for Babies!
Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Dreaming of taking the next train out of town? We've got the ticket. Join FCA Bethesda in supporting the Children's Inn at NIH, a home away from home for critically ill children. Raffle tickets are on sale now for trips to London and Barcelona. $100 buys you an opportunity for the trip of a lifetime while helping to support the Inn. Winning tickets will be drawn March 23rd at the 15th annual FCA Bethesda Children's Inn Gala. Winners need not be present to win. To claim your ticket, visit childrensinngala.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. We have a special edition of Ask the CIO today. My special guest is Brian Moran, a lead instructor at the Graduate School USA. Now, Brian, before break, we were talking a lot about the courses and how they worked and some of the different changes that are happening. Let's talk about the subjects or corresponding courses you think the Graduate School needs to add in the coming years.
You know, as you know, with sequestration coming to a head and continually federal budgets are becoming tighter and tighter, and the demands for oversight and accountability are going through the roof. So what I foresee is the accelerated retirement of the baby boom generation. They're probably going to be leaving, you know, in fairly short order. So courses that are necessary to help fill the void are courses in procurement, especially IT procurement, IT acquisition, auditing, accountability, retirement planning, succession planning is key, knowledge transfer, knowledge management. And, you know, in the IT arena, one of the main things is going to be turning people into individuals who can align their IT functions with the mission of the organization. And beyond that is moving to a process where IT workers become brokers. And because of the commoditization of IT, they're going to be in charge of making sure that that alignment occurs and that the use of commodity IT occurs to fulfill that alignment, which puts a lot of business responsibility on what was traditionally run by IT professionals.
And I think you're starting to see that now with the push for commodity IT. Email in the cloud is a good example. But you mentioned the word brokers, and I always have to ask, you know, cloud brokers is kind of the next avenue for cloud computing. Is that kind of an example of how things change, of something that maybe a course that you guys would have to kind of update with?
Yeah, I think I could see a course coming out on cloud brokering. But in general, there should be courses in brokering commodity IT for the federal government. So acting as buyers of commodity IT and aligning that commodity IT, whether it's cloud services or some other service or technology. And it's fundamentally different than sitting down at a keyboard and hacking out a series of lines of code to develop a system.
When you look at new courses, for instance, you meet with people in agencies, in OMB, on Capitol Hill. You know, a good example is Daryl Issa, the congressman from California, chairman of the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, is introducing a new IT reform bill. I'm sure from that will generate new courses. Is that part of the process?
Absolutely. So it's a host of places where the content comes from. So in the revamping of the Enterprise Architecture Program, Government CIO Graduate School, we've collectively been working with OMB, working with Scott Bernard, the federal architect, to make sure that we're taking his vision for enterprise architecture and infusing that within the curriculum so that it gels with the need of the federal marketplace. And sources of material range beyond just the OMB to any other standards organization that you can imagine that's involved in enterprise architecture, as one example. But in other courses, of course, legislation is a key thing. So reaching out to Congress and the Hill to make sure that the spirit of what they've intended is being taught, and also to prepare students for what might be around the corner.
I think that's probably the hardest thing, because you never know what's going to come down, what's going to be the next greatest thing. I mean, I remember when former federal CIO Vivek Kundra talked about bring your own device as part of mobile strategy, and we were all here going, no, that's never going to happen. And now BYOD is actually a reality. I mean, do you have that kind of sense too, where sometimes it's difficult to predict the future?
When an influential individual like Vivek Kundra speaks, or the federal CIO in general, if Steve Van Roekel speaks, of course, that's going to be something that drives and shapes the curriculum. So when they push towards a major initiative like BYOD, we have to be prepared to synthesize that, you know, at the graduate school or at government CIO, and we have to be able to say, hey, how is BYOD going to impact security? How is BYOD going to impact enterprise architecture? How is BYOD going to impact cloud computing? And when it starts to become a reality, it needs to be infused in the course. You know, the one thing, you don't want to pull the trigger too soon, because you don't want to teach people something that is not necessarily going to become adopted either. So there is a balancing act between getting ahead of the curve and falling behind the curve.
I imagine that's one of the toughest things you guys have to put up with, you know, each year, each time you relook at your coursework, is how not to get ahead of that curve and teach something that nobody will care about. I can think back through the years of so many things that were priorities of one administration, then the administration changes and they become less of a priority. I imagine that's all part of this process.
Absolutely. As administrations change, even going when the president doesn't change, but the administration changes, there are always new influences that promulgate throughout the government that need to be addressed in the curriculum.
One of the other things that I think is really growing up around in the last, you know, 2, 3, 4 years is the integration of IT and other functions in government, whether it's acquisition or financial management or just plain management, what we call the CXO community. Give me a sense of how you guys integrate that, and has it become more important for you? Are you seeing more of a demand for this type of integration over the past few years, meaning, you know, maybe CFOs taking IT courses or CAOs taking management courses?
Well, definitely. A lot of CFOs do take IT courses because they need to understand where the money's being spent, and IT tends to be a large portion of the discretionary spending. So you do see a lot of the folks on the financial side interested in IT and having a better understanding of IT. And conversely, you see a lot of IT professionals who recognize the need for stronger acquisition skills, for stronger financial management skills. Because when you're a COTAR in the federal government, you have a responsibility to review invoices, monitor invoices, track the burden down rate for your contractors. And you have to take that information and effectively use that information to be able to make decisions on contractor performance and also to be able to communicate back to the budgeting folks to make sure that they have the dollars and cents correct.
From your perspective, as these courses kind of become more integrated, how do you work that in? For instance, the EA course that you guys are developing now, give me a sense of how you work in some of the other issues, whether it's finance or acquisition or management skills into that those courses.
Within the curriculum itself, security gets addressed. Even though it could be an enterprise architecture course, security will get addressed. Acquisition will get addressed. Project management will get addressed. Strategy will get addressed. All of these disciplines get addressed within the course, even though the fundamental purpose of the course is to teach enterprise architecture. These disciplines are interrelated and inextricably linked so that those functions have to be described and they have to be contextualized within the enterprise architecture program. So it's key that basically every course, whether it's a project management, an IT project management, or a service-oriented architecture course, those courses need to touch on those other disciplines because many times the students sitting in the room are either an implementer of technology or a purchaser of technology. So we have to be able to address both needs simultaneously.
All right. Sounds like a good idea since things are changing so quickly. We're almost out of time, Brian, before I let you go. A couple things about Graduate School USA people should know about. What should they keep in mind as they start looking at courses, as they start looking at other options? Obviously, there's a lot of options out there. What about your courses that these federal employees really should keep in mind as they make decisions?
What folks should understand is that the courses continually get refreshed and revised to stay current with the times. So you may have taken an enterprise architecture course 4 years ago, and it was relevant at the time, and it stayed relevant for several years thereafter. Today, it may require taking the same course as a refresher, but it will be radically different content than what you had seen before.
And as they start signing up and they start doing this, it's a fairly easy application process?
Everything can be done online, and quite often, if not even done by the individual, it's done by a training official.
All right, very good. All good words, all interesting things that are going on at the Graduate School USA. We will also put a link to the school on federalnewsradio.com to make it easy for people to find. Unfortunately, we are out of time. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today was Brian Moran, a lead instructor at the Graduate School USA. Brian, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you, Jason.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
In times of joy, in moments of grief, broadcasters come through, even when all else fails. Today, with more ways than ever to experience the moments that transform our lives, Americans still choose broadcast radio and television more than all other media combined. We are the local broadcasters of radio and television, reaching more people, touching more lives. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.